You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on April 17th, 2025. And this week we're talking about empathy. I recently read the new book by Joe Rigney called The Sin of Empathy, Compassion and Its Counterfeits. I posted a review to this book last week on the Plain Bible Teaching website. And this book has received a lot of criticism because in our society, empathy is seen as being unquestionably good. But is it? Or is it possible for it to be corrupted? We're going to consider that in our episode today. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/04-17-25. Now for our discussion this week. Now, I'm not going to say a lot about the book specifically in this episode, except for one point later on in the episode. The book review is posted on the Plain Bible Teaching website. If you want to check that out, it will be linked in the show notes. I do recommend you picking up a copy and reading this for yourself, because I think he makes a lot of worthwhile points in that book. But today I want to talk about the concept that was discussed in the book. So there are a few points I want us to consider. And whether you've read the book or not, this discussion will be helpful, I believe. Number one, we must show compassion to others. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul explained that compassion is one of the characteristics of the new self that we have in Christ. He said, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." The word that's translated compassion there means mercy, and it's something that comes from our innermost being. The King James Version uses the phrase bowels of mercy. So this is not something that's superficial. It is a heartfelt response to the needs and the circumstances of others. On one occasion in Jesus' ministry, when he felt compassion for the people, he then proceeded to teach them. Mark 6:34 says, "When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." When Jesus fed the multitudes, he did so out of compassion. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. But I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way." So clearly, compassion is something that is commendable. We show compassion to others, as Colossians 3 and verse 12 says. The Hebrew writer commended the brethren for showing sympathy to their brethren who were in prison in Hebrews 10 and verse 34. So why would anyone suggest that empathy might be wrong? Well, first, we need to understand that the term empathy is not in the Bible. It is a relatively new term. And second, any good thing can be corrupted. Love is a virtue, yet how many families have been torn apart because of adultery that is falsely labeled as love? The emotion may be there, but it is not a virtue because it is not according to God's standard. And number two, there were times when God forbid his people to show pity to others. Deuteronomy 19 verses 11 through 13 says, "But if there is a man who hates his neighbor and lies in wait for him and rises up against him and strikes him so that he dies, and he flees to one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and take him from there and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. You shall not pity him, but you shall purge the blood of the innocent from Israel that it may go well with you." This was the case of murder. This person is guilty and needs to be punished. Yet too often in our society, people show more sympathy for the murderer than for the victim, especially if the murderer belongs to some particular group, whether it's by race or economic class or something like that. And this point is actually discussed in the book. If you read the book, you'll see that. But another example is in Deuteronomy 13 verses 6 through 9. If your brother, your mother's son or daughter, or the wife you cherish, or your friend who is as your own soul, entice you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, whom neither you nor your fathers have known, or the gods of the peoples who are around you, near you or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other, you shall not yield to him or listen to him, and your eyes shall not pity him, nor shall you spare or conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. Now, this was a case of idolatry, one person leading others of God's people to worship other gods. Now, that might seem extreme to us that this would be the penalty, but that was the law under the law of Moses. So as we think of those examples, when was pity or compassion forbidden? When it interfered with the practice of God's law. Which brings us to the next point. Our compassion needs to be rooted in God's perfect standard. Now, here I want to use an illustration that was given in the book showing the difference between sympathy and what the author called untethered empathy. The author described a scenario in which someone is sinking in quicksand. The sympathetic helper steps into the quicksand to help while keeping one foot on solid ground and holding on to something outside of the pit to anchor himself. This allows him to help the victim and pull him out of the trouble that he's in. In contrast, the empathetic helper jumps into the quicksand and joins himself to the suffering of the victim. There may be a closer connection, but there's no real help there that can be offered. Now, someone might say, well, that's not what I mean when I use the word empathy. And that's fine. You may not mean that when you use the word empathy. The word can be used in different ways, but you understand the concept that the author is getting at there. The one who jumps in might be closer to the victim. He might be able to relate better to the victim, but he can't really provide any help. The other one, who remains anchored to the shore, maintains what the author called an emotional boundary, which allows him to stay objective, remain anchored, and provide actual help to the victim. If we want to show compassion and help those who are suffering, we have to remain anchored to God's perfect standard. This is the only way that we are going to be able to help anyone. Why? Well, for a few reasons. One, God's word is truth. In Jesus' prayer to the Father before his crucifixion, he said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And two, because the way that seems right to us leads to death. The wise man said, there is a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. If we're going by what we think rather than what the word of God says, we may not help anyone despite our best of intentions. And three, it's because God's word will judge us. Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. And also because Jesus has the words of eternal life. John 6:68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. And if you read through that chapter in John chapter 6, you'll see that this is when the people were offended by Jesus and what he said. The crowds left because they refused to accept what he was teaching. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, asked the question, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Well, that's what the crowds thought of Jesus. They didn't want to listen to him anymore because of what he was teaching, even though it was the truth. Unfortunately, there are many who are too empathetic to tell people the truth. They don't want to cause them any further abuse or trauma, as they might call it. But withholding truth from someone is not the way of Christ. And finally, consider the example of the woman who was brought to Jesus and charged with being caught in the act of adultery. John 8, beginning in verse 1, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say? They were saying this testing him so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone and the woman where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go from now on, sin no more." Jesus showed mercy to this woman. The mob intended to kill her, and he saved her from that. He also refused to condemn her. Now, it's important to understand that Jesus was not violating the law when he did this. Some act as though Jesus was bending the rules for her, but that's not what he was doing. The law required the man and the woman who were caught in adultery to be brought and put to death. The man was not here. It was just the woman. The people in the mob were the ones trying to bend the rules, not Jesus. And for more on this, I have an article linked in the show notes titled, "Did Jesus Bend the Rules for the Woman Caught in Adultery?" If you want to learn more about this, check that out, and it explains it in more detail. But in showing mercy or compassion, Jesus did not justify or condone her adultery. Many would try to justify it today. After all, it's, you know, people are in love. They want to do this. They're consenting adults. Why is it a big deal? Many would justify it. Jesus did not condone or justify her adultery. Instead, Jesus said, "Go from now on, sin no more." We need to show mercy like Jesus did, to help people, show compassion, but do not accept sin. And while we're doing this, help lead people to follow God's perfect standard. So as Christians, we are to be sympathetic to others. We are to show compassion to those who are around us. But we need to be careful with our society's concept of empathy. We should try to help and comfort those who are suffering, but we cannot do this by abandoning the objective standard of truth that is found in God's Word. Sometimes what people need to hear is not what they want to hear. But we need to speak the truth in love, as Ephesians 4 verse 15 says, in order to draw people to Christ, because He is the source of all comfort and all hope for all those who are suffering. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/04-17-25. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others who'd be interested, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos that we post here from time to time. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.